16. Have you found your place? If you found your place in the Bible, let's begin. We're going to begin 2 Kings chapter 16. This is the story of King Ahaz in the Bible. King Ahaz, 2 Kings 16, verse 1. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. 20 years old was Ahab when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And notice this, and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father. What a sad epitaph on his life. Verse 3, but he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. Israel was away from God at the time. Yea, and made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Then Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to war. And they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. At that time, Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Elath to Syria and drave the Jews from Elath. And the Syrians came to Elath and dwelt there unto this day. So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser. Well, that's quite a name. Amen. Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am thy servant and thy son. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me. And Ahaz took the silver and the gold that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house and sent it for a present to the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria hearkened unto him. For the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and took it and carried the people of it captive to Kir and slew Rezin. And King Ahab went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria and saw an altar that was at Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Urijah the priest the fashion of the altar and the pattern of it according to the workmanship thereof. And Urijah the priest built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. So Urijah the priest made it against King Ahaz, came down from Damascus. And when the king was come from Damascus, the king saw the altar, and the king approached to the altar and offered thereon. And he burnt his offering and his meat offering and poured his drink offering and sprinkled the blood of his peace offerings upon the altar. And he brought also the brazen altar, which was before the house of the Lord, from the forefront of the house and between the altar of the house of the Lord, and put it on the north side of the altar. And King Ahaz commanded Urijah the priest, saying, upon the great altar burn the morning burnt offering, the evening meat offering, and the king's burnt offering, and his meat offering with the burnt offering of all the people of the land and their meat offering and their drink offerings, and sprinkle it upon the blood of the burnt offering and all the blood of the sacrifice, and the brazen altar shall be for me to inquire by. Thus did Urijah the priest according to all that the king Ahaz commanded. And Ahaz cut off the borders of the bases and removed the laver from off them and took down the sea from off the brazen oxen that were under it and put it upon a pavement of stones, and the covert for the Sabbath that they had built in the house and in the king's entry without turned he from the house of the Lord for the king of Assyria. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaz which he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Ahaz slept with his fathers, was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and Hezekiah his son reigned in his stead. Father, thank you for the Bible this afternoon, Lord. And as we preach it this afternoon, I pray you'd take the truths of it, God, and speak to our hearts. Oh, Lord, I ask your blessings and your help, Lord, and as we open your word, and help us to get the truth, Lord, that you're trying to convey to us through the passage. I pray and ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, let me recap this story here just so you get a good understanding of what's going on. There's a king in the southern kingdom, Judah, The capital is Jerusalem. And this king is a wicked king. His name is Ahaz. Now, Judah has not yet gone fully away from God. They've kind of taken steps that direction. But Israel, the northern kingdom, has already gone away from God. They're just full-blown evil, okay? Now, Israel gets together with the king of Syria, and they are going to attack Ahaz, the king of Judah. And so they go against it, and they fight against it, but for some reason, they just cannot overcome it. They just can't win this battle. So Ahaz gets this idea in his head. He says, I'm going to ask the king of Assyria, this Tiglath-Pileser guy. He probably couldn't even pronounce his name. But Assyria was the great kingdom at the time, the world ruler. And so he goes to the world ruler and says, hey, I've got some silver and some gold. He gives it to him. And willingly and happily, Tiglath-Pileser comes down and helps him and says, all right, we're going to defeat these boys. Now, while Ahaz was there in Damascus talking to Tiglath-Pileser, trying to convince him to help him, he goes and he sees an altar. He sees this false altar because the Assyrians had false gods. And he sees this false altar to God, these false gods. And he says, you know what? I like that altar. I think I want to take that altar and trade it out for the one that's in the temple. I think we'll just go to the temple and we'll move it over here. We'll take the brazen altar that God had told Moses to have, and we're going to take the they called it the sea, and it was held up by oxen, and that was a picture of the cleansing of the people. And we're going to take that, we're going to put that over here on the side. He put on the north part of the building, the Bible says. We're going to take it, we're going to put it over here, and we're going to put this nice new altar that I saw in Damascus. Urijah, you're the priest. You make it happen. You do what I say. And Urijah, he gets all the measurements of the altar, and he says, okay, we're going to build this new altar. He builds this altar up wonderful. And when he does, they make this sacrifice, they do all this stuff, and they get all this sacrifice going. And I want you to know that this was an evil, evil thing that he had done. Ahaz was an ungodly man. He did not walk in the ways of David, his father. He walked in evil ways. Now, when you know something's evil, you have to look at it and see what's evil about it. Because in the passage of Scripture, it doesn't appear like he was doing anything evil. It appeared like he was just moving aside the old and bringing in the new, and everything's peachy keen and everything's wonderful. We'll just move this brazen altar over here and move this sea of over here, and we'll just put over here on the north side of the building. We'll just build this new altar, this new thing that looks so nice. And can I tell you that it was a very evil, ungodly thing that Ahaz had done. Now, can I tell you, we do the same thing in this country today. Churches are doing the same thing. They're taking away the things that God had already established and commanded in his word. They're pulling this, well, we don't need that old thing anymore. Let's put it over here on the north side of the building and get our, you know what, let's move these old songbooks out. Let's just put the bouncing ball up here let's change the form of worship. You better be careful. You better be careful about that. You know why? Because I want to tell you something. Ahaz demonstrated that could be a very evil action. Oh, yeah. You say, why would you think it'd be evil? I'll tell you why. Because it went against what God had already commanded Moses to do. And every part of that temple was necessary so that God's people could have the forgiveness of God for their sins. If there were no brazen altar, there could be no offering for sin. The sea, as they called it, was a large basin of water that would clean the animal after it was sacrificed. It was a picture that after the blood, there was the cleansing of it. But Ahaz said, oh, we don't need all that old stuff. Let's usher in the new. I want to tell you something. You better be careful when you usher in the new that you don't get something unbiblical. Here's how it happens. They bring in the lights and the smoke. You ever been to church? I've been to a graduation one time, and the smoke machine started up. I thought I was in a haunted house. It was dark. Somebody got up there and started some wild. It didn't look like church. It looked like a rock band. You couldn't go and hear the still small voice of God because the beat was so loud, you couldn't get it in your head. And can I tell you what? We're substituting true worship today in our churches, and we're putting in entertainment stuff, and we're calling it worship. Hear me. That's exactly what Ahaz did in the Bible because he did not know God. He didn't know God. Well, preacher, you just don't understand. Some people just like to worship in a different way. Well, God addressed that already in the Word of God when he said, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God said, hey, listen, if you push aside my word and you push aside the right things and you replace it with all this modern, new, fancy stuff, you may not get something that God wanted. And oh, listen, I want to tell you something. America's into this kind of stuff. Boy, we got to get rid of all that old stuff. Churches like ours are old and fuddy-duddy. You still sing from that songbook? Yep, and don't plan to change anytime soon. Amen. You say, why? I'll tell you why. Because they did the singing like that in the temple. They opened the book of God and began to sing in the temple. There's a biblical precedence. I mean, imagine some rocker, wild hair in the temple of God with the smoke and the lights. You better be careful because it can be a distraction from real worship rather than obedience to it. You say, preacher, you're just being critical. Now, I'm telling you something. I'm telling you God has a way of doing things, and we won't need to follow what God says. Now, let me show you what happened to Ahaz and why he did that. Are you still with me? Now, don't be thinking about cheesecake right now, okay? Amen. I know those thoughts are wonderful in our mind. I didn't get one of those extra plates. Did anybody get one? I'll just take the cheesecake. That sounds good. All right. Are you with me? I want to show you 5 points. We'll go home. Number one. Ahaz was influenced by the wrong things. There was an influence. Look at verse number 16, if you would. Verse number 10. And King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser. Notice this evil king of Assyria, and saw an altar that was in Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Urijah the priest the fashion of the altar and the pattern of it, according to all the workmanship, and Urijah the priest built an altar according to all that King Ahaz sent from Damascus. Where was the influence coming from? It came from ungodly sources, didn't it? And I fear what we're trying to do in our world today, we're trying to appeal to people in ungodly ways. And may I tell you what? If you get them in by being ungodly, you got to keep them by being ungodly. And I want to tell you something. God never said a righteous church was a big church or a small church. God said a righteous church was a church that was doing what God's word said to do. And that's where our focus always needs to be. Whenever, you got to be careful about your influence. Oh, hey, I went over to this church and they seemed to have such great things glowy. I mean, they had the lights flashing. Preacher, we need to put some flashing lights up here. Man, those things are strobe lights enough. We don't need to add enough to them. Amen. Just looking up at them, my eyes, I can see nothing but light across my eyeballs. It's the new trend, the new thing. Boy, if it's new. I like what Spurgeon said. If it's true, it won't be new. And if it's new, it won't be true. You got to be careful about all the new stuff that comes along. Hey, listen, God already ordained by Moses centuries before, this is how I want you to do it. This is how I want you to worship God. This old altar here, the altar is a picture. It's a place of our heart. It's a place of our heart. When you put the wrong altar there, it's a picture that the wrong heart goes in the wrong direction, in the wrong way. You say, well, they're just trying to get along and please God the best they can. I want to tell you something. What pleases God is to do it God's way. Cain tried that, didn't he? You remember Cain? He said, I'm going to please God, but I'm not going to do it his way. I'm going to bring him the best of my vegetables. I'm going to bring God my prize-winning watermelon. And God looked down at it and said, that's not what I wanted. That's not what I asked for. I didn't ask for that. I asked for a blood sacrifice. His brother Abel gave God the blood sacrifice because he obeyed God. Oh, listen, I want to tell you something. We can drift so, churches, individuals can drift so much that we become influenced by this world. Churches, preachers can become influenced by the world. If you don't believe that, look at what Urijah did. Everything the king told him to do. Yes, king. Yes, king. Hey, whatever happened to the day when preachers had backbone for the truth? There wasn't many amens on that one. I'll just say amen myself. Amen, preacher. That's a good point. Thank you, brother. Thank you. See, this priest here, he wasn't really a man of God. There were other men of God who ran the temple, but this one, well, he just capitulated to whatever the king wanted. Well, I can't risk my job to do the right thing. You know, we used to live in an America where people wouldn't do right no matter what it wouldn't do wrong no matter what it cost them. They were going to stand. They were going to do what was right. And may I tell you something? God blessed them for that. God blessed them for that. Oh, no, I don't think you do wrong when you keep the songbook in the pew, when you keep a pulpit hot and don't move aside the pulpit. You say, well, they're still preaching the word. Some of them got some of these Bibles with more corruption and more errors in them. It's terrible. I really wonder what they're training Bible college students in these schools about their Bible. That's the foundation of Christianity. Amen. But it's sad. So he was influenced by the world. Can I tell you what we ought to be influenced by? That ought to be the number one influence in our life. And what it says, we just obey it and do it. Because therein God blesses it. Amen. He was influenced by the wrong thing. Number two, he wanted a new form of worship. He was following the world's pattern. Hey, let's go over here and see what Brother Tiglath-Pileser is doing over here in his worship services. Hey, Brother Tiglath, how's it going over here? Oh, you got you a new altar. You know, I like that. Let me bring that thing back to my church. We're going to take that altar and let's bring that over here. I think people will like that. We don't need all that old stuff. Just, you know, those old Bibles, you know, that old King James, just kind of moving along. It's dry. It's dusty. You know, let's get some new worship going on here. Let's let the preacher, you know, take that suit off. I mean, get down to our level, man. You know, and mess up your hair, you know. Just mess up your hair. You like that? Get rid of that camera. Too late. Hey, man. Let's just get casual. Take my shoes off. Hey, man. You don't have to be so stiff. Man, just get up with the times. What's wrong with you old fuddy-duddy preachers? Man alive. Don't you know what the trends are today? Hey, man. I'm glad you got the picture, because that's the last time you'll see that happen. Amen. You know, it's funny. I don't know how to do that.
Don't choke me.
Just that a little bit. That feels good, preaching without shoes. I like it. Amen. I might have to get some new modern methods going. Amen. Yeah. That's good. Preacher, we got to have a new method. We got to get all these new things going, preacher. Don't you know you'll appeal to the younger crowd if you get all these new stuff going on? Amen. Let me tell you something. There's a church in town where the kids can ride their skateboard in the auditorium. Skateboards. You know the problem with that? There's a disrespect for the house of God. There's a disrespect for the house of God. I want to tell you something. If you look in the Old Testament and you see how they treated the house of God, because they knew God's presence was there. They knew God's power was there. They didn't mess with the house of God. And God wouldn't let them. Amen? Remember Uzzah? He reached up and touched to just steady the ark of God. But God said, don't do it. Don't touch it. And God smote him dead. Well, man, that wasn't fair. He was doing it out of the goodness of his heart, man. And God smote him dead? What in the world? All you got to do is just have good intentions. That's a lie from the devil. It's a lie. You got to have good heart and a right heart that wants to obey the word. That's what you need. Come on, man. Get up with the times. Get up with the times, man. That's Ahaz thinking. We got to get this new altar in here. Get this thing. You get this new altar in here, they're all going to come in. The only problem is the people love God walk out. The people want to serve God, really have an understanding that this old book is what we need to focus on. Boy, you know, some Christians get Ahaz thinking today. And by the way, if you get them in that way, you got to keep them that way. What are you really giving them? You're not really giving them anything. You say, well, preacher, you don't have too many to start with. You know, God said, go after the quality, not the quantity. God said, I'll build my church. If we just do what God wants, please God, God will bless it. God will bless it. By the way, we all got to stand accountable for God for how we do things and what we do. I want to stand before God and say, God, I did my best to keep it right. That's what's important. Young people, follow the world's patterns if you want. Pierce your nose, color your hair, tattoo your body. But I want you to know something. That isn't of God. Amen. Preacher, you preach it. Praise the Lord. I like this no shoes thing. I feel like the lady sitting on the back row. Amen. This ain't bad. Whew, I might go another hour. I only got one amen on that. Thanks, Coop. He's helping me out over here. He's helping me out. See, the idea today is we got to get rid of the old so we can put in the new. The problem is they were getting rid of what God commanded. God said, this is what I want. And Ahaz didn't consider what God wanted. To be honest with you, this may surprise you when I say this, but there's some new things that are not necessarily wrong. But when you get rid of what God wants, and you take God's word and you just put it on the north side of the building, it got him in trouble. It got him in trouble. I want you to notice, because of it, what did Ahaz accomplish for the Lord? You know, the Bible says this is the only thing it says about Ahaz. That's it. He changed the altar, he made Urijah do it, and then he died. This is essentially the passage kind of summed up. He got a king together with him, he liked his altar, he kicked out the old, put the new altar in, made Urijah do it, and then he died. Boy, what an epitaph on his life. He was a man of major accomplishments, wasn't he? He didn't help anybody. He didn't do anything for the Lord with his life. He didn't try to please God. He didn't try to serve God. The Bible says he didn't even have any children. He didn't even train children in the ways of the Lord. He built some false temple and got rid of the old and put in the false. What a waste of life. What a waste of life. A lot of people are wasting their life. And can I tell you, a lot of churches, and don't take this wrong, but a lot of churches are not going in God's direction because they're not focusing on this book. The trends of the day are intermingled with their ideas. And they're preaching ideas and inspirational things and philosophies. But they're staying away from the commands of the word. And you know, it's because this book is sharp. It's sharp. Hebrews 4, verse 12. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Oh, don't trade the bad, the good, and put the bad in its way. Trade the bad, put the good in its place. You remember Esau came home one day and he made a bad trade. He said, I'll give you my birthright if you'll give me a bowl of pottage. He made a bad trade. You know what he did? He gave his birthright, sold his birthright to his brother. Instead of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau, it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he lost all his blessings. It ruined his life. From Esau came the Edomites. The Edomites were always against God's people and always fought against God's people until one day God just obliterated them all. That's what happened. That's what happened to Esau because he made the wrong trade. And I want to tell you something. It's not worth it to go the world's direction in your church, in your worship services, in your life. We're so foolish as humans to think that the new trends are what we're looking for. If it's trendy, let's do it. Let's try it. Let's. The only problem is, many times, it goes against God's word. Old-fashioned preaching is still in the Bible. God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching. It's still in the book. Whatever's still in the book, let's keep it. The next generation needs to know what God says. The kids today need to know what's true and right. They not need to be influenced by the world and intermingle and twist in the world with your worship. No, let's let our worship be pure of God. Let's let it be the right kind. Let's be focused on God. Lastly, you know, Ahaz was given a great opportunity as a king. Can you imagine being a king? That'd be pretty nice. By the way, in spiritual aspect, we are kings and priests with the Lord Jesus Christ. We already are in a spiritual aspect. But can you imagine being an earthly king? Man, I'd find a million things I could do to get the gospel to people. Man, if you make me president, you know what I'd do? I'd stop all the funding for the United Nations. Amen? I don't have a long enough sermon time to tell you what all I would do. But I'd do that. Amen. I'd get out of China, that I can tell you. Get out of their back pocket. But he had an opportunity to do something, and look at all he did. That's all he did. He didn't do anything. Can I tell you something? The Bible teaches us about opportunity. The Bible says, as ye therefore have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially them that are of the household of faith, especially to God's people. God says, you have the opportunity, do it. Take the opportunity. I don't know how many opportunities I've missed in life. And it bothers me. It bothers me when I miss the right opportunity and I could have done something about it. And that was the life of Ahaz. He lived his whole life with the opportunity to do something, but this is all it says about his life. That's all it says. You know, everyone's living a life right now that will form your epitaph when you die. When you die, people are going to remember you by the life you lived and what you did. Imagine going to Ahaz's funeral. Imagine sitting there in the pew and looking into Ahaz's body. What did he do? Well, he moved the brazen altar away. He got rid of the cleansing part of the people. He moved that to the north side of the building, and he set up some crazy altar in there. Other than that, I can't think of anything he did. Imagine going to Ahaz's funeral, looking down at his cold body and saying, what did he do? What did he do? I say to you, life is an opportunity. You may not have a lot to do with what you'd like to do, but do what you can do. Therein is the blessing of the opportunity. Ahaz missed it. See, you only get one chance of life. You only get one life. Take the opportunities to do good. And don't take away the opportunities of the good to replace it with the trends of the day. The things that feel good today. The popular things of the day. Don't trade that out. Keep that. Young people, as you grow up, you're going to see a lot of trends. You're going to see a lot of this and a lot of that. And it's going to glitter. It may look like, woo, that's wonderful. Look how nice that is. Maybe we ought to try it. Remember Ahaz. Remember Ahaz. And just keep doing the right thing. That's where God's blessings are. I've seen people in life tempted to veer off and wander, go this direction, go that direction in life, And they reach a point in life where they have to either go down the tubes with it. Because if you follow the trends, that's eventually where you go. Or they just stick by the right stuff. They just stay faithful. And sometimes they go through hard times and trouble. But one day that light breaks through. And when that light breaks through, they see these blessings unfold because of their faithfulness. And their blessings unfold in their faithfulness to God. And something is wonderful about that faithfulness to God. Oh, I encourage you. Don't live your life like Ahaz. Let's stick to the old book. Let's just stay with it. Hey, listen, when you find something good, you stick with it. When you find that good restaurant, you stick with it, don't you? You find that good place. Can I tell you the place that's good? It's this right here, God's Word. Let's just stick to it. It beats the trends 10 to 1. It beats the ideas 10 to 1. This old King James Bible right here. It'll get her done. Let's bow in prayer this afternoon.